6, if you will. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Right after this, we do have a business meeting, so we might take a brief break and then get right back into the business meeting, unless we preach or whatever with the Lord until they come over. It should be a brief business meeting, so maybe an hour, hour 45 minutes. I'm just kidding. Some of you are like, what kind of, really? No. Should be a brief one. We're going to try to vote Charlie in as a councilman. That's totally up to you guys. The council seemed fit that we unanimously voted him to recommend him to you, so that should stand for something. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Is that where we're at? Some of the councilmen said it like this: if Charlie don't get voted on, they're going to have to quit. Because, never mind, sorry, Charlie. I'm making Charlie uncomfortable, so I'll just stop right there. 6:45. Let's just jump into Word. And straightway, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side, before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And y'all know what this is. I've preached this here before, and I'll preach it here. I'll probably preach it here again. But I want to preach it from a different perspective. I want to look at it from a different kind of point of view of when you tell a story about who you are, your testimony, your sharing, and how you would tell significant stories in your life or a significant event in your life, and how you would it would be weird if it wasn't there. You know what I mean? How it'd be weird if it wasn't there. Well, that's kind of what we're dealing with here, and I've seen some stuff in this I want to share with you tonight. But I want to talk to you about Jesus doing this miraculous feeding and then constraining his disciples to get in. And I've talked to you about this, and I've preached this before. Don't be surprised when, if you're a disciple or an apostle or a leader of Christ, or you're doing a great work for God, or you're wanting to do a great work for God, that after great services, after great miraculous, I'm almost talking about this morning service, don't be surprised if you roll right into a storm, okay? Don't be surprised if we've seen people who got saved this morning, who come up here and got breakthroughs in the altar, who left out of here and they felt like, man, God has pulled 40 or 50 pounds of weight right off my shoulders. Don't be surprised if Monday a storm rolls in, right? Monday or Tuesday this week a storm rolls in. Why? Not because Satan's after you, but God is allowing you to go into something, because just because God has changed your life doesn't mean He's done with you. Amen? Golly, yeah, help me out just a little bit, okay, when I'm preaching. Just because you got saved, just because you got the miraculous, just because you got the goosebumps, just because you got the shout, just because you felt, doesn't mean tomorrow the world's not there and God ain't got to get something else out of you. Amen? Just because you get saved, that doesn't mean God's done with you. That doesn't mean you're a finished product. You're a process. Amen? You're going to have to learn to walk and talk and eat and do a lot of different things. And then plus there's some stuff in you that will take years and years and years to get out of you. Some of you, y'all better start saying, amen, I'm going to come. I'm serious. We'll be here a lot longer than we need to be, because I'm serious. God is still getting me out of me. Amen. I've been in this for a little while and God's still getting me out of me. Amen. And it takes trials. It takes storms. It takes some agitation to bring that up out of me. Amen? Have you ever, as a Christian, start thinking about, as a Christian, have you ever acted out and didn't know that was still in you? Just the right storm? Just the right amount of no sleep, or too much work, or too much family, or... Amen? That you didn't think that was in you and it came out? Has it ever surprised you? You didn't think you had that kind of anger still in you? You didn't think you had those kind of words still in you? I'll have altar call right now. Y'all keep looking at me that way. You do. But guess what? That's because God's letting that get worked out of you. And sometimes it's better for God to work it out in the storm than it is in front of everybody. God, help me, Ed. Sometimes it's good to yell into a storm because people can't hear it like they could if the wind was not roaring. Woo! Wind's blowing, thunder and lightning. Everybody's mad. It's a controlled environment for you to maybe freak out a little. Oh, goodness. God don't always put you on the front stage to make a mistake. Sometimes He puts you in the press where nobody else is there. Amen? Guess what? 5,000 people, not counting women and children, went the other way for a reason. Because God's going to work on you 12 in the boat. Thank God. Thank God. I'm glad God works on me sometimes when ain't nobody looking. We can be all spiritual if you want to, but praise God. I'm glad I can, on Sunday, I can stand here, hallelujah, because guess what? Monday and Tuesday, and when God worked on me. Amen? You let Him work. I just thought it was neat. God constrained them. God wrestled them into that boat. There might have been about 8 of them that didn't know what they was getting into, but 4 or 5 of them did. Amen? I mean, you got your tax collectors, you got your other, but you had your fishermen who had been in their life, had been rowing boats and working around fish and being in the sea. They looked out there and said, "Are you crazy?" Tom's like, "What? What's wrong? Jesus getting us in trouble again?" Yeah, get in a boat. I could just see Peter and them standing on the... No! Yes! No! Yeah! Get in the boat! God, I wish y'all weren't so spiritual. Y'all, some of y'all act like you go, every time God says, "Yes, sir! Private so-and-so reporting for duty, heading that way, sir!" No! God, sometimes, I mean, man, He has to wrestle us into some things. Give this, do that, go there, go talk to them, call them, please visit them. Oh, God, yeah, all right. Huh? For real? And then when you get there, you act all spiritual. God really placed me on your heart, and I just want to be here. I want to be obedient. Because I got a broke arm and almost a broke leg. Amen? Constrained in the boat. They're constrained in the boat, and they're rowing. And I might be, now listen, I studied this, and I didn't really, this 13, they say it's like 13 miles long, the sea is, and 7.5 miles wide. Don't just sit here and just wear, oh, you're off, it's 8 miles wide. Nope, 14. I've never been, plan on going, but from the vantage point Jesus had, He went up into the mountain and prayed, and man, He could see them, amen. And let me put it this way. He's God. He can see them. Amen? Let me go back. I want to preach another point before I go too fast and too far. Jesus had 5,000 people, not counting women and children. I'm thinking that number is more like 15,000 to 20,000 people. He's telling them that they've got to go away while they're excited. They're excited to the point that they want to make Him king. You know why? They're full. They're full. When you're full, you love God. Sometimes when you're empty, you don't love Him so much. Amen? When you're, I can't put it any other way, when you're burping up bread, fish, amen? You know how you'd be if you were out in the wilderness for 3 days and you hadn't ate? Some of y'all can't make it through a 12 o'clock service. Amen? Ooh. I said that out loud, I'm sorry. But you imagine 3 days, to go, you know, in church with Jesus for 3 straight days? Oh, so spiritual again, I'm sorry. Oh, Jesus, you're the teacher, you're the best preacher. Hey, you know, I haven't seen an RB sign or an exit in like 3 days. You know, out here in the wilderness and everything, you know, your spirit, but hey, you know, 3 days, right? But you know, and all of a sudden, these people are hungry. And they're like, no doubt. We're starving, right? So Jesus gives them, right, fishes and loaves. And guess what? They probably founded themselves. I know I would have. Amen? I think I need another fish and a bread to go, please. Right? It's been 3 days. And I mean, you just be found, men are so full. And you know what? They are excited. I mean, they are oh my gosh. We need Him to be our leader. Why? Because He's awesome. And I'm full. Hey, sometimes the most anointed people in the world, you don't really care. As long as you're full, hey, boy, I'm happy. But praise God. He didn't come to be their physical king. He came to be their spiritual king. And that thing He did in the desert was not to show them that He could feed them physically. It was a picture of the Christ. It was a picture of the cross. Amen? That's what it was a picture of. It was a picture of him dying on the cross and him being enough for everybody to be filled. And then some left over. Amen? So guess what? They were all out there and they were like, we're going to make you king. Jesus had to simmer them down. No, I'm not going to be your king. Would you please just go on back to your hometowns and go back to your houses and you're full and you should be able to make it home. And the time you get there, you might be hungry again, but guess what? We took care of you. God bless you. It's been great, man. This is awesome. Come back to next year's fish fry beside the river or the lake. I ruined that last part. All right, but all of a sudden, you know, he sends them away and they're all like, you know, upset, and they're all talking about, you know, why did he do this, why did he do that? And then he's got his apostles that he just, you know, and he just sent them off into their trial. So Jesus has got that going on, and I preached that whole thing to tell you this. He went up in the wilderness and prayed. So stop giving him excuses why you can't talk to him. If Jesus has got all that going on, if he's got 20,000 people going, we want you, we want you, we want you. And he's got 12 guys going, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you crazy? And he can make time to talk to God, and he's God, and you can make time to talk to God, because you're not. Amen? Amen? Make some time. Make some time. I don't care if it's 5 minutes. Make it five on fire, fervent prayer. God, here I am. And it wouldn't hurt you. Some of y'all, I don't know if you noticed this morning. Some of y'all, well, man, we had a great church service. Why did we have a great church service? Why did we have it? I rack my brain about that every time we have a great service, because we have a lot of them. But this morning, you know what it is? We stopped coming here trying to please ourselves. We started worshiping God. And when you start worshiping Him, He shows up. And when He shows up, we don't really have to do much. That's what happened. Somewhere amidst the worship this morning, God got worshipped and God showed up and said, you know what? If you're going to worship Him, I might as well show up. But what I'm telling you is, if you'll praise Him in your prayers, amen, just start praising Him. You'll start seeing Him magnified and He'll start answering your prayers, because if you praise Him, He gets involved, and the one who gets involved already knows what you have need of. God, y'all didn't hear what I just said. Did you hear what I said? If you'll praise Him, He already knows what you want and He already knows what you need. So if you praise Him, you might not even get into your wants and needs, because He's already meeting them. If you worship Him, you got into the Holy Spirit. I know it's scary, but if you'll start praying and worshiping Him, next thing you know, the Holy Spirit gets involved in it, and you'll start saying stuff and praying about stuff that you didn't even know you had need of. That's what the Bible says. See, if you'll wait on the Holy Spirit and you'll pray in the Spirit, you'll pray for the things that God wants and what He needs, and praise God, He'll start answering the way He wants to answer, and then you won't be standing around going, I don't know why God didn't answer that, because guess what? You're praying against God's will. Amen? I mean, I've prayed against God's will before, and then all of a sudden I'd slow down and worship Him and listen to Him. So, you know, there's a reason I'm not getting Him out of trouble. There's a reason I'm not getting her out of trouble. There's a reason I'm not rescuing them. I don't want to rescue them temporarily. Praise God, I want to rescue them for eternity. Some of y'all are praying for somebody to get temporally fixed. God's trying to fix him eternally. And you keep praying against God, and you're disappointed because God ain't moving the way He wants to move. If you had listened to Him, He'd tell you, I'm working on their soul. I'm not gonna give them financial freedom. I'm not gonna let the deal work out. I'm not letting the relationship work out. I'm knocking them down to the lowest point where they'll turn to me. If you'll wait, you'll see me. Woo! That's free. It didn't cost you anything. I made up my mind tonight on the way here. I said, I'm not gonna preach very hard because I don't want to sweat before the meeting. I have no control over this stuff. God laughs at me every time I tell Him I got a plan. I love verse 47. What was I telling y'all about that? I was telling y'all about the distance. What was I not? 7.5? And then 13, somewhere in that ballpark. What's this right here? And when evening was coming, verse 47, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and He alone on the land. Do you know they only made it halfway? That's 3 or 4 miles, about 3 miles. All night long, if you take it all and consider it all night long, they went about 3.5 miles, almost 4 miles, halfway there, almost halfway. And they rode 9 hours. They rode 9 hours when Jesus shows up. Now, listen, I don't know if any of y'all are into CrossFit. I'm kind of getting into it. It's miserable. I'm sore everywhere. Amen? But we did one the other day. We had to row 250 meters. That takes about 4 minutes to row 250 meters. For me, it takes about 8 minutes, apparently. Yeah, y'all laugh at me. I don't see y'all out there rowing. I'm just kidding. You see how defensive I am? Stop. Well, yeah, I'm rowing for 250 meters. That's nothing. Amen? That's not even a quarter of a mile. Amen? That's not even a quarter of a mile. Maybe a quarter, maybe close. These guys rowed for 9 hours against the sea, against the wind. When we see this, all of a sudden, I think sometimes when we see these guys in a boat, we think they're like just, you know? They got cramps, they got blisters, and they got attitude. Amen? Go ahead, I dare somebody. I'm just telling you, do sit-ups for 9 hours tonight. You ain't, no, we ain't going to do that. But they just sit there and rode and rode and rode for their life for 9 hours. They are mad, frustrated. Every one of them off the chart. I guarantee you, you would see who you really are 9 hours in. Some of y'all 35 minutes in. Man, blisters on your hand, cramps in your legs and your feet. And you, listen, and you know Jesus is the one who put you there. Not the devil. It'd be different if you said, I ain't going with you, Jesus. I'm going my own way. Huh? Jesus said, get in the boat. Oh, male, we're so spiritual. That first hour, I'm on a mission for God. I'm on a mission for God. I'm on a mission for God. Yeah, nobody knows my mission like me. Huh? Looking over there, I'm rowing more than you are. Come on, Thomas. John's going, I'm rowing more than you. I can outrun you on land and sea, brother. Huh? 2 or 3 hours of that. Who got, we're going wrong direction. Let's just hook a right and go over to the shore. Let's turn back. Right? Jesus. Comes out there, and this is Jesus comes out on the water in verse 48 and saw them toiling and rowing, and the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking by the sea, and would have passed them by. What are you? God, what are you doing? What do you mean? You'd passed them by. Don't you care? Don't you want to solve all my problems? He was going to pass them by. He was just, where are you going? He was going to the other side, where he said they're going. But they had a choice to make, and you do too. You can keep rowing, keep complaining, keep being mad, or you can get the one who walks on the water to get in your boat. And some of you are sitting here right now going, oh, I know I'd get him in my boat. Yeah, would you? Or some of you right now got some storms going on in your life and you still ain't asking to get in your boat. Huh? I mean, there's some stuff going on in your life right now that he wants to get involved in, but you're letting him walk by. You're letting him walk on by. All right, Lord, I know. I got it. Thanks for coming by. I don't want him to come by. I want him to get in. Amen? But he'll walk by. God's not like us. Man, I wished he was. God's not like us. He thinks like us. Well, we'll just go help him anyway. God, hey man, he will not come in unless you let him come in. He won't help unless you want him to help. He's not coming to override your will. I wished he would. Read my mind, God. He don't want to read your mind. He wants your heart. He wants you to tell him. He wants you to speak it out of your mouth. God, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. Lord, help me. I love this stuff. Verse 49, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. Verse 50, for they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I love God. You're mad as you've ever been. And you are not spiritual right now. You're angry. You're saying stuff that you don't want God to hear. And he hears it. Be of good cheer. It is I. Where you been? That's the first question. You know what time it is? 4 o'clock in the morning, buddy. Could have used you 6 hours ago. What, matter of fact, hey, why did we get in the boat in the first place? Why couldn't we go with you? Amen? Because I'm trying to get all this stuff that's in you right now out of you, because in about, hey, in a little bit of time, I'm not going to be with you. And you're going to have to go through the storms without me, and you're going to remember all the times I rescued you, and when the Holy Spirit's in you, you'll be rescuing other people out of their storms instead of me rescuing you out of yours. You'll thank God. One day you'll thank God for the storm that you went through, because you'll be able to walk into somebody else's storm and tell them, don't worry, be of good cheer, God's here. Are you God? No, but I'm a carrier. I'm a carrier of the Holy Spirit. I have one part of the Godhead in me. I'm a carrier of Him. Amen? I got you. You can handle this. Because I went through a storm one time without Him, and then He walked into it. I love this. I love this story. I love it so much. For they all saw Him, and they thought in verse 51, and He went up. Listen, oh, this gets weird. Verse 51, and He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. Is there something missing in this story? Is there? Do me a favor. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. When y'all hear something different, please. 14 verse 24. We'll start at verse 24. Don't matter. Matthew 14 verse 24. When y'all start hearing something different, y'all kind of go, hey, there it is. Y'all ready? I hear page turn, sorry. I had my Bible marked. Why weren't y'all prepared? I'm just kidding. I'm almost being silly. Y'all ready? But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Man, things are sounding about right. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out with fear, for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them and saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. About the same, right? And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come unto Thee on the water. Is that different? And He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. And Jesus, is that not different? Pretty different. Go back to Mark. I remember hearing this message back in April that had some of this content in it. And the guy who was preaching this message and talking about it, he was talking about a fact that he was writing a book. And he had a guy was writing an audio book with him, and he was going through that, and he said he asked him, he said, have you ever done anybody famous? Have you ever wrote books for anybody that was famous? And he said, yeah, a president. He said, which one? He said, one that kind of had a scandal in the White House, you know, in the Oval Office. He goes, oh, that guy. He said, yeah. He said, we were writing the book. He said, man, how'd that go? He said, it was good, until he got to the point where he said, okay, remember when you had that scandal? Tell me about it. Here's what, well, I don't think people really want to hear about that anymore. Amen? Right? Listen, that's all people want to hear about that man's presidency, right? If you were going to talk to him, you'd ask him, how'd this go and how'd that go? And you'd say, how'd Monica go? Oh, you're so spiritual. Yes, you would. Right? Yes, you would. Because you'd want to know. Because you can't separate his presidency or his time with the story of his scandal. Amen? Peter, in this case, was written about by Mark. Do y'all know who Mark is? Do y'all know that Mark is the stepbrother of Jesus? Do y'all know that? He's Jesus' stepbrother. Do y'all know that? But did you know that he's a convert of Peter? Peter was the one who witnessed to him and led him to Christ. Did you know that Peter took him to Rome and he led a church, mostly full of Roman Gentiles, and when he wrote the gospel of Mark, he wrote it in a way that the Romans would love to read about it. It's got more power and more strength in it than any of the other gospels. It left out Jewish custom and culture and types and shadows of the coming Messiah. It just told of how awesome God was. Quick, he uses the word quick and fast a lot in his testimony of how God healed him quickly and God and Jesus moved fast because God wanted the Holy Spirit to reiterate and show that God was a powerful God and Jesus was God on earth. Amen? But let me tell you this. They were hungry. They had heard Peter preach and they had heard the stories of the gospel. And he said, hey, Mark, will you sit down and do a book for Peter? Will you write the book of his life? I wish somebody would write the book of my life because I have a real bad case of hyperattention. I'll tell you 10 stories in one. Sorry. But he's writing a story. And he tells him. Now listen, he goes, there was one night. See, Mark wasn't in the boat. Hope y'all know. Matter of fact, he probably wasn't even born yet. And if he was, he was about 5 or 6 years old. Amen. During the time when Nero was slaying all the Christians, he was in his teenage years. When he was late teens, early 20s, he wrote a gospel that literally helped change the world. Which, never mind. Ain't that impressive? I'm not about that's pretty cool. You're about 20 years old and you just write the gospel of Mark. You don't think that's going to change the world? It's still changing the world. It's changing my world. Amen? Oh boy, in his lifetime, the short lifespan he lived, he seen the world turn upside down. And he was a part of it. I'm preaching, y'all just don't know it yet. Peter told the story of when they were in the water. Walking on the water. Jesus came walking in the water. I wonder if Mark said, hey, Peter, you remember when Matthew told the story and Matthew was there? Yeah, I remember. Remember when he told the story? He said it like this. He said, and Jesus came, says, fear not as I. He said, and you said to him, no, you. You said, hey, Lord, can I come? And Peter got his head down. Did I say that? Yeah, you said that. You said that. And he said, come. And you did. And you walked on the water. And you walked on the water. Yeah, I love that. I love that part of the story. I love that. Well, this is pivotal. We need to put it in our book. We need to put it in our gospel. Because who would leave out you walking on water? Is it because you sank? Is it because you took your eyes off of Jesus and you sank? Not. Because see, that used to be a really important part for me. But the most important part of the story for me today, looking back, is not the fact that I got out of the boat and walked on the water. The biggest part of the story is he got in my boat. Now you didn't hear me. The biggest part of the story is not that I did something. It was that he did something. See, I can do a lot of things, but when he got in our boat, the storm was over. When he got in my boat, my life was changed. When he got in my story, praise God, all the things that are good about me are disappeared because he got in my boat. He got in my life. See, Peter had a whole history of Jesus getting in his boat. Amen? The first time Jesus ever met Peter, he got in his boat. Man. When he walked on the water, he got in his boat. And when it was all said and done, he was sitting on the lake fishing. And Jesus screams from the shoreline, children, have any meat? Man. Jumps out of the boat and runs up to the shore. Years later, when the first gospel is put out, which a lot of people believe Mark's gospel is put out. He said, don't tell them. Don't tell them about me. Tell them about him. Let's not make this story about me. Let's make it about him. So what I'm encouraging you to do with your life, don't make it about you. Make it about him. How he got into your vessel and how he changed your life forever. As we stand.